the new talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is the new fall season at thebobdavispodcast.com. So welcome in podcast 412. I'm going to update you on the Chieftain 2021 audiobook beta test. We've learned some important lessons. If you've downloaded it, if you've taken part in the audiobook beta test, we're going to talk about that, and then we're also going to talk about the Republican tax plans to cut taxes, a little bit of politics in this podcast, and why you need to be very suspicious of them. So one of the things I'm going to talk about in this podcast is making dreams come true, and I'm going to tell you some stories about Ed Johnson, owner of ex-government cars, and one of the dreams that he has had is to create something called ex-government trucks, and ex-government trucks is just opening in Forest Lake. And I did a commercial for him last week for ex-government trucks, introducing ex-government trucks, which is now open in Forest Lake. And, you know, you can go to exgoverntrucks.com and it will take you to the site and you can find out where it is and everything like that. I don't need to tell you that. But here's the audio from the spot that I created for ex-government trucks just this week. You've heard me talking about exgovernmentcars.com, and now open in Forest Lake, ex-government trucks.
Ex-government trucks.
Ex-governmenttrucks.com, now open at 356 19th Street, Forest Lake, or call 763-777-8782.
Ex-government trucks.
The new ex-government trucks Mega Truck Center features dozens of the best brands, Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Toyotas, and more.
Ex-government trucks.
Ex-Government Trucks has the 3-day peace of mind guarantee, so you buy with confidence, and as always, they love taking trades. Highest values paid every day without all the bull.
Ex-Government Trucks.
Get out to ex-governmenttrucks.com today, 356 19th Street, Forest Lake. Ex-Government Trucks, 763-777-8782, or check them out online, ex-governmenttrucks.com.
Ex-Government Trucks.
Now, while I'm at it, I should also thank the digital sponsors of the Bob Davis Podcast. These are the sponsors that run banner advertising only on the BobDavisPodcast.com, which is actually pretty effective for people. Alpha Systems, which I'll tell you about a little bit later on in the podcast. And as long as we're talking about dreams coming true, I want to thank Buzzlets for starting digital advertising with the Bob Davis Podcast. You're going to be seeing a banner at the top of the page pretty soon about something called Buzzlets. Click on it and learn about a new long-range device that enables you to get your kids' attention without screaming and yelling and waving your arms, and we've all done it, whether they're at the water park, especially on the soccer field, right, at the hockey rink, or down the street. Buzzlets starting their Indiegogo campaign. It's like Kickstarter. Indiegogo. I-N-D-I-E-Gogo. Click on the banner when we get it up, and it'll take you there, and you can find out about what they're doing. And good luck to you guys at Buzzlets, and thanks for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, I was kind of hoping to be out on the flat tonight because I'm doing this podcast a little earlier in the evening than normal, but it's really windy out there, and when it's really windy, it drives me crazy because obviously the wind gets into the mics, and I hate that sound, but it's a beautiful, beautiful night out there, so I'm doing the podcast inside here in the studio, which as it gets colder, it's kind of cozy to be in the studio, but it's really not that cold out there tonight. It's just beautiful, but it's too windy. So, the new audiobook, The Chieftain 2021, if you want to know more about it, listen to podcast 411. This is my first attempt at putting up an audiobook, and we are beta testing the purchasing process through PayPal, as well as WordPress and GoDaddy and everything else. The deal is you purchase the thing. First of all, you click on the tab that says audiobook. Then that takes you to, there's the first chapter, and each chapter is 99 cents. You click on it, you click buy, it takes you to PayPal. Then you get an email. The email contains a link to the download file, which you then download on your PC. There's a couple of problems that we're working through right now. For one thing, it's not sending emails, so we are having to do that manually. And if you didn't get an email with a download file, let me know by sending me an email. We'll take care of you. We can tell who purchased, so you know if you didn't get an email, we can take care of it. The other one is that the download file is slow on a phone, and I actually think I know why. So we may be able to solve this problem tonight in podcast time. So if you download the thing, once you get the download file onto your PC, it's an MP3 file. So then you click on that when it's finally downloaded, and it should copy onto your iTunes. Then you can sync your phone with it, and you'll be able to listen to it on your phone, and you can listen to it, unless I solve the other problem sometime tonight. But it's kind of exciting, you know, and it's people say, well, why are you doing this? Why not just go to Audible, or why not go to one of those services? And here's the thing, you know, it seems like a lot of work, both for the reader, so to speak, the person that's listening to the audiobook, and the writer of the audiobook, yours truly. It seems like a lot of work, but for self-publishers, here's the thing. If you go to any of these audiobook servers, you know, whether it's iTunes or Amazon, you still have to jump through these different hoops, but hoops nonetheless, and then they take a percentage of the money. So at 99 cents a chapter, which really isn't that much. I mean, if I write 10 chapters, it's a book for 10 bucks, right? I don't really want to share the revenue. I don't want to share 40% of the revenue with somebody else. So this is why I host my podcasts and host my own audiobook and take care of the billing through PayPal or eventually additional services myself. So bear with us, pardon our dust, and those of you who are downloading are helping me a lot in this process of trying to figure out what we've done and where we can fix it and how we can make it better. If we could have done it for free, in other words, if we could have offered the beta test for free, we would have, but this was actually the one thing that was intractable. So the book is 99 cents. And it's about a family and a political situation is all I'll say. And I really can't wait for people to hear it and then give me their views of what they think about the story. It's funny because Mitch is much more methodical than I am, and he wanted to beta test it offline. And we were up on the deck taking a break the night that we did this, and we were talking, and I was like, Mitch is my WordPress guy, basically. And we were talking about it, and I was like, you know, screw it. Put it up there. He's the IT guy for the Bob Davis podcast, basically. And it's kind of a metaphor for life, and it's a great place to begin sort of talking about stuff in this podcast. And I was thinking about this today because it's an adventure. You know, sometimes you just got to put stuff up and see what happens. You have to dream it and then just do it. Now, I mean, I had to write the story, and it's gone through 300 or 400 revisions or whatever. It's gone through, I've written it as a book. I wrote it as a teleplay and then readapted it for an audiobook. But once you get it up there, you start solving the problems, or you learn what the problems in terms of distributing it really are. And they're really just issues that you have to work through to make it more, you know, to make it work more smoothly. And it reminds me, one of my sponsors, the longest-term sponsor of the Bob Davis podcast, Ed Johnson at X Government Cars, you know, when I was talking originally about putting up the podcast site, I had all these ifs, ands, and buts, you know, when we were talking about it. And he said, you know what, man, just put it up there and see what happens. Just get it up there and see what happens. And then later, you know, he said the same thing about the mobile podcast command unit. And I was hesitant, and I was worried about this and that. And what if it needs shocks? And, you know, what if it needs new tires? And he was like, you know, we will fix the little things as it goes, and it may cost you some money. If you don't like it, just sell it, right? And you know what? That was great advice. Sometimes you just need to do it and not worry, to get it up there and not worry about it. So that's kind of where I was at with the audiobook. And I guess I'm telling the story so people who are like, well, if is this going to work? You know, what happens when I put my PayPal number, that kind of stuff. You know, this really isn't a website for the faint of heart. This thing is, you know, PayPal is secure, of course, but I'm just saying that, you know, I put stuff up to see what happens. And first of all, a lot of people have bought the audiobook, and I'm super excited about that. And I'm sure once we smooth out the process, more people will buy it. And I'm sure more people will buy it when, you know, when I start writing more chapters. And the part of the reason I'm doing it is, as I said in podcast 411, you know, I think working with fiction is better at, you can say more working with fiction than trying to work with the day-to-day news, because the day-to-day news is so depressing and it's so not what we need. You know, I mean, I'm learning new ways to talk about and say this, but the day-to-day news is so not what we need right now. It's better to be able to talk about issues and to incorporate issues into fiction. And I have a lot of other ideas for other stories that I'm sure will be just as equally adaptable to current events. The other thing is, I remember, you know, still talking about Ed, that I was with him once. We were at a party and we were talking to a bunch of people. And somebody said something about, well, what do you want to do in the long term? And I said, I want to write stories. You know, I want to write fiction and have it made into TV shows or whatever. And it was something like that. And this guy proceeded to tell me, and he meant well. It wasn't a negative, nasty thing. But he started to tell me, you know, what were all the barriers to why you couldn't do this? And you're going to have to get a publisher and blah, 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 blah. And Ed turned around and said, hey, man, that's his dream. Don't try to kill his dream. Just let him have his dream. And I never forgot that, because that's the kind of focus only a real entrepreneur has, is that you respect other people's dreams, even if they're crazy. And the thing I'm learning is, people who mean well will always tell you, you can't do this or you can't do that generally. They won't think of reasons why you can. And I have certainly done it. I have another client that I had a crazy idea, Casey at Autonomous CAD, called him last night, and I said, hey, I got this crazy idea for something. And we were talking about it. And, you know, Casey doesn't say much because he's kind of taking it in. And I was like, you probably think this is a dumb idea. And he was like, no, because a good in me, you know, I'm not passing judgment on it at all, because if we keep talking about it, it might lead to something really great. That's the way we need to think about our country. That's the way we need to think about our society. When you hear somebody say what they want to do, you know, you think they're asking for advice, but really they're not. They're just testing the water. And the thing is, who am I to say you can't or cannot, can do or can't do anything? The truth is, people can do, and they do really extraordinary things simply because they dreamed it, simply because they had imagination and desire, which is what I would describe as a dream. And there are a lot of people that don't ever make their dreams happen. But here's the thing. If you can make even a sliver of your dream happen, you can't imagine how happy you'll be. You won't want stuff anymore. You won't want the new car anymore. You won't want this, that, or the other thing, because you'll be consumed with making your dream a reality. And I think about that a lot these days, how we stop ourselves and we let others stop us. I've learned to stop talking about my ideas to some people, because I know that they're going to try to snuff it out before that creative flame gets a chance to catch and burn brightly. One of the chief obstacles in this idea is that people will say, oh, well, you're too old, or you don't want to take that kind of risk, or you're too young, or if you were going down that path, you would know it by now. I've said that to people. And the thing is, you can do things. You can do great things no matter who you are and what your age. You can change your reality. I really believe that. Everybody has a story to tell. Everybody has some kind of idea. Everybody has some heart's desire that they want to bring into the world. And the problem is, we are living in a society these days that spends a lot of time telling people why they can and cannot do things. There's a lot of put-downs on social media. There's a lot of put-downs in groups of friends. There's a lot of pointing at people and laughing who are trying and failing. And the thing is, failing is a part of success. And then saying, see, I told you so. There's a lot of people telling you it's impossible because you got to be a rich guy, or you're going to get put out of business by Warren Buffett or Wall Street. You're going to get sued, or, you know, who do you think you are? That kind of thing. And this is the dream killing. This is the stuff of dream killing. I mean, as far as the social media stuff, that's an example of snark right there. But as far as hearing it from friends and family, you know, I don't think they're trying to hurt you so much as they think they're helping you. Now, the general manager of the Bob Davis podcast, my mom, has always been supportive. In fact, I was getting something out of the refrigerator today. And you know, when you put stuff on your refrigerator, you just don't see it after a while. You forget that it's there. And she had sent me a Christmas card last year when I was talking about getting the mobile podcast command unit. And it, you know, we knew we were going to get an ambulance. We had already decided that. And she cut out a picture of an ambulance and then colored it with my logo on it and sent it to me with this thing that said, just do it. And, you know, that I noticed, I looked at that and I was like, the thing is, that ambulance looks exactly like that picture. So you can do it and you can dream it, and you do have to have a will of iron to make it happen, but you can do crazy things, and you have to realize that people are going to try to cut you down to size from all over the spectrum and for various reasons, and you just can't let them. And you know, this isn't a motivational speech so much as this is a kind of a slice of life, the way we live today, where we have people telling us constantly we can't do this and we can't do that. And we are told we can't do this and we can't do that as a nation. And we are told we can't do this and can't do that as a group. And we are told you can't do this and you can't do that as individuals. And usually it's because people just don't understand whatever it is that you want to do. Sometimes it's too new and it's too bizarre and people don't like new ideas. And sometimes they're just trying to keep you down. But I just think it's one of the ways that we have started to lose hope in this country, to turn a phrase, because everyone is so busy telling everybody else why they can't do and say things. And it doesn't matter whether you have an R or D in front of your name. The real tyranny is to get people to stop themselves from dreaming and making their dreams come true. It's one of the reasons we don't have a lot of economic growth, because a lot of people have just stopped trying. So you just have to have, you know, I mean, in the end, you just have to have much more will and determination. And again, when you can make your dreams come true, even as a sliver, you know, as I said, you can't imagine how happy you're going to be. And this is how I feel about the BobDavisPodcast.com. And it's how I feel about politics, and it's how I feel about what's going on in our country today, is we need to make it easier for people to make their dreams come true. Because generally, the dreams are positive. Generally, the dreams are really good things. And we have to help people bring these things into fruition. And what holds them back is all of the sediment in the pipeline, the taxes and the regulations and the rules and the shaming and the social media snark and everything else that stops people from saying, gee, I want to try that, but I'm not going to. And maybe your dream is to become a congressman. Maybe your dream is to start something, you know. It doesn't matter what your dream is. That's your dream. And when we try to prevent people from having their dreams, we're hurting everybody. You know, back in the old days, people used to say, well, at least I've got the farm. I can go back and farm, you know? And you hear about people retiring to their farm all the time. And I realize today, this is what the BobDavisPodcast.com is. It's a creative farm. I farm creative ideas. And now for me, they are ideas of a sound fashion, you know, audio. But it's an opportunity for me to plant the seed, wait for some sunshine and some loving care, and then see what comes up and sort of tend those crops. Now, already the podcasts have flowered and they're on their way, hence the blog, where I started the From the Bunker blog. By the way, that's kind of not happening. That's one of the ideas that's not doing well, because the fact is that I'm blogging under each podcast to tell you what it's about anyway. And now the audiobook, which I'm really excited about. And there will be more options for you coming, some of which will be advertiser supported and some you'll have to pay for, like the audiobook. But I'm having fun conceiving them and doing them. And I hope that you're having fun listening to it and watching it along the way. Now, continuing with the creative theme, history demonstrates one of the paths to personal wealth is through property ownership. Maybe you've had the dream to develop and be a landholder, so to speak. The reality is that many continue to rent while waiting to purchase their first home or to move up to their next home. In the last 5 years or so, there's been many foreclosures and houses sitting empty for extended periods of time and houses renovated by these fly-by-night house flippers. And if you want to negotiate that risk, because there's a lot of houses out there for sale, but you need to know about the market and individual properties before you buy. So to do that, you need real estate professionals that understand the market. Now, interest rates have been near historically low levels for many years. There is now pressure to increase interest rates. There's a lot of talk online on the financial blogs and so forth about the Fed increasing interest rates at their September meeting. We don't know what's going to happen, but this is the time to take advantage of low interest rates. If you're in the market for real estate or someone close to you is considering buying their first home, I want to introduce prideofhomes.com to listeners and subscribers to the Bob Davis podcast. Prideofhomes.com is a husband and wife licensed real estate agent team and a real estate investor with expertise to share with you. Take a minute and talk with Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate and prideofhomes.com. They can help you out in the North and Northwest Metro, Maple Grove, Plymouth, Rogers, Staten, Champlin, Albertville, St. Michael, Elk River, in the North Metro Corridor. A lot of houses, right? For real estate expertise, Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate. Visit their website today at prideofhomes.com, 763-433-9100, 763-433-9100. And thanks, you guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Now, pursuant to, you know, what I was talking about, the farming ideas and living your dream and making your dreams come true, which is what individual freedom is supposed to be about, I wanted to take a little bit of time and talk some politics in this podcast. So we have to kind of shift gears to the present time frame. And this is specifically taxes and growth. And it's something I see coming up a lot. And I feel like somebody needs to say something. And I'm probably going to be the first, but I won't be the last. Certainly others have made this point, not the least of which would be John Tamney, but there will be others. So if you've been watching what's going on with politics, Jeb Bush has come out with this big 4% growth target that everyone's talking about. We need to have consistently 4% growth in this country. And the first thing that happened is the commentariat, you know, went into overdrive telling us why that's impossible. We can't have that. We're in a new reality. The most we can ever get is 1.9% or 2% or 3% growth is great. It's a mature economy and all that. And now, that is not why we can't have 4% growth, because we can. First of all, you don't have to have 4% growth in every quarter. You just have to average 4% growth. So that means some quarters would be 5, some would be 3, some would be 2, some would be 6, right? The problem is Bush's 4% plan is not going to work, and he doesn't know why it's not going to work, because he doesn't really know how to make it happen based on what I've seen. The first part of his plan is to introduce this is like playing the most amazing chord that you could ever hear when you went to heaven. It's the music of heaven for Republicans, and that is the words tax cut. That is the music of heaven for Republicans, or at least that's what a lot of establishment Republicans think. But his plan introduces quote-unquote tax cuts for the middle class, but not for the most wealthy. So it's another big government Republican tax gimmick, and that's really the word for it, which is designed to lower taxes for the so-called middle class nominally and then pay for it, quote-unquote, by doing something called closing loopholes. Now, I never liked the, we're going to pay for these tax cuts by doing the following, because this kind of negates the idea that it's our money that they're taking and we are giving it to them with the understanding that they're going to do something with it that we want them to do, right? Except today, almost no one is happy with what the government is doing with our tax dollars regardless. So really, it's our money. So when they say, we're going to pay for a tax cut, that means that someone else is going to be taxed more. So you're going to take water from one end of the pool and put it into the other. And that should be obvious. You can't cut taxes if you don't cut spending. Supply-side economics basically stands on the idea that there is no such thing as the Keynesian view of supply and demand. In other words, this idea that the government can stimulate by priming the demand pump through spending. This was a theory, by the way, never supported with empirical economic data by Keynes. Secondly, this is a model that we've lived with in this country for the last 70 years. Supply side is a more classical view, which takes the position that says there really isn't any demand. There's only supply. And I suppose the simplistic explanation of this, you know, at least in my understanding, is I create something like the audiobook. People want it, they buy it, and then I have money for yoga classes and groceries. The yoga teacher has money for gas, and the grocer has money for sunglasses. And if we all just keep creating, then we can consume at our will or not. We can save money. We can, you know, buy gold. We can put seeds in the ground and grow food or whatever it is that we do. So economic growth is a function of creation. So now you begin to see why I'm talking about creating and farming creative ideas and making dreams come true. It is a function of production, not government spending. So what you need to hear from these guys is, I will cut spending first, and as I do, I will cut taxes. Because when you cut taxes and increase spending, that is a disaster. And that is what Jeb Bush wants to do. That's what a lot of the Republicans want to do. Now, for people that say, how come you don't ever criticize Democrats and it's only Republicans? We know what the Democrats want to do. We know that they will continue to spend to provide services to people because they believe government will ameliorate the ills of life. And they'll keep doing that until there's no more money left. And then they'll arrest all the rich people and take their money. And then when there's no more rich people left, then you have Venezuela. And, you know, that's where it leads. So the reason we're talking about the Republicans is they're the ones that claim that they're going to fix all this, but they won't because they don't have the economics right. The other thing, when we talk about cutting taxes and not spending, is it doesn't challenge the central tenet of the modern conservative, so-called conservative, which is, quote, I don't want to actually cut spending because if I do, I will have to cut defense spending and spending which benefits people juiced into the government complex. Who's juiced into the government complex? Well, the big defense contractors, big Wall Street firms, law firms, you know, that kind of thing. And those are the guys contributing to all of these campaigns. And by the way, all kinds of recipients of government largesse, for whatever reason, including mortgage holders, people in debt, welfare, food stamps, VA benefits, farm subsidies, energy subsidies, state unionized employees, federal unionized employees, pension plans, etc. Jeb Bush needs those guys to fund his campaign, so he's not going to do anything to hurt them. And on the left side of the political spectrum, it's the same thing. So we're never going to get the 4% growth that he's touting, and we're never going to address the spending that makes the government expensive, or the regulation that makes it impossible for people to make their dreams come true. And that's the reason taxes are a problem. You know, people don't think about the actual cost of things. They don't think how much the light rail actually costs because they're paying a nominal fee, taking essentially, you know, economically speaking, what is a free ride, because if they had to actually pay the price of the light rail. And why do I say this? Because the state raises money to bond out. They raise money through bonding to build the light rail, or they raise money through the taxes on, gasoline to raise money for the light rail. And then the government block grants money to the states for transportation, including light rail. And so in perpetuity, that thing is funded by the federal government and the state government and people driving their cars. And the guy that thinks trains are great is riding the train and paying, you know, a couple of dollars a ride. If he actually paid what it cost for the train, they wouldn't build the train because it would be too expensive. Now, that just doesn't make sense. Over the long term, that thing is just not going to work. And this is why mass transit is struggling in every major market in the country, because even when you have a market where, like New York City, where millions of people ride the train, it costs so much to run it that without the government subsidies, it wouldn't work, right? People don't think about how much that stuff costs. They just think it's great. People don't think about what it costs to make downtown Minneapolis feel like Disney World's Pleasure Island on Saturday night. And they certainly don't think about it when they go on a date to a restaurant around Loring Park on a beautiful summer night. And they think, let's have dessert. We'll just have dessert because, you know, maybe we had dinner at home and we went out and we had some drinks. We'll have coffee and dessert and we'll sit here and talk. And then you get a bill for $40 plus for a couple of tiny pieces of pie and some coffee. Why? Because the restaurant is paying higher minimum wages. They're paying more. They're adding in the cost of regulation. They're adding in the cost of extra taxes because corporations don't pay taxes. They serve as vessels that just have you pay a tax. And they're paying extra money in taxes, and you're paying extra money in taxes for three stadiums and the trains and the extra cops and everything else. And isn't this great downtown, people say. Well, yeah, it's great, but it would be even greater if the pie was $15 instead of $40, but you can't have that because what they've done is they have displaced money from over here and brought it over downtown. That's what the government does, and it's a blunt instrument, and it isn't perfect, and it costs a lot. And so it's okay if we have decided this is what we want, but when we lose control of that process, then the spending becomes the biggest problem. Now, if you cut spending, people are going to have to accept less, and that's the problem. Republicans and Democrats are afraid to tell people that their special interests and programs and free stuff from the government are coming to an end. Just this week, there was a story about lottery winners in Illinois are getting IOUs from the state government because Illinois is a poster child for financial mismanagement. People talk about California all the time. Illinois is falling apart. I mean, Houston is on schedule to replace Chicago as the third largest market in the country. And, you know, even lottery winners are getting chits that say IOU instead of actual cash. And remember when they said, oh, a lottery is a license to print money. We'll use this money for education. Well, where's the money that's going into the lottery, right? Well, they don't tell you that. So At what point does the compact between the citizens and the government, where we say we will pay taxes, we agree to pay taxes through a flat tax, a tariff, or tithing, or whatever you want to say, you can use the money to do stuff that we need to have done, police and fire and roads and bridges and maybe a few programs to help people. At what point does it become, you know, a mess and get out of control? And that's the question you got to answer for yourself, regardless of where you are in the political spectrum. So the next time some Republican starts waving his stupid tax cut plan in your face and you're at a meeting, ask him this. When and by how much, Mr. Bush, will you cut spending in the federal government? Give me totals or percentages across the board. What initiatives are you going to bring to Congress to cut spending? And then give me specifics as to what departments of the federal government you'll be cutting, all the way from IRS to defense, and by how much and why. They will not answer that question because they want to talk about tax cuts. And they want to talk about, quote unquote, paying for the tax cuts. Personally, I don't see any reason why the federal and state governments and even local governments can't cut their yearly spending by 3 or 4% or more every year. I know people who are in local government who have done it. I know that it can be done at the county level. I know it can be done at the state level. It's just that we don't have the will to do it because these guys are cowards. They won't come forward and say, this is what we have to do or we're going to go broke. What do you want us to do? You know, corporations have been doing this for years. And by the way, the ones that didn't have gone out of business. Corporations have been cutting spending year after year after year. And usually it means layoffs and people all freak out about layoffs. But, you know, Wall Street loves layoffs because it means that companies are getting their cost structures under control. And especially today, companies are, you know, are popular on Wall Street for cutting spending by cutting employees. And they're almost all these major companies have figured out ways to cut employees because they can use technology in different ways. You know, that isn't that is something that is handled by growing more new businesses and by Jerry and Sue creating something that is their dream that grows into a big business that people can be employed on various different levels. And there's no reason why government can't make it possible for people to do that. But that's going to mean fewer federal and state government employees and county employees. And it's going to make people mad. And it's going to mean, you know, a change in benefits. And it's going to be, a change in things like entitlement. And that's really the issue in this election that nobody wants to talk about and that nobody wants to outline specifically how to solve because this is the Gordian knot that has created most of the problems that we're dealing with. For example, entitlements alone will bankrupt this government if we don't figure out a way to grow the economy substantially. So we're talking about 4, 5, 6% regularly and for a long time, especially to catch up to the recession of 2008 in terms of the growth that was robbed from us. So, the growth that we lost in the recession, that we have had a very slow growth, quote unquote, recovery. We haven't solved the problem structurally. We're not reducing the spending. We're not reducing the regulation. We're not helping people make their dreams come true. So we're not growing new job structures. And as a result, we're not growing. So if we don't change that, we're not going to change anything. And I got news for you. A tax cut for some middle-class people and increasing or closing loopholes on people who are wealthy or Trump likes to call the hedge fund guys, is not going to solve our problem. With slow growth and spending increases, sooner or later, we're going to end up underwater. And that's what is the problem. This is why we're not creating jobs. And it's why we're getting all these people coming across the borders for free stuff and to work under the minimum wage line on the down low. We're not growing. By the way, that's also Europe's problem. We're not growing fast enough. And we're not growing fast enough because the government is taking too much out of the economy and growing too fast. And we're starting to see the negative effects of that. Can it be fixed? You know, you can make marginal changes and have marginal improvements. But if we really want to attack this, and if we want a truly new approach to government, we need to have people start talking about where we need to go. As I talked about in the Forgotten Presidents podcast, what needs to get done, how it needs to get done, and, you know, when and how we're going to do that, and let people make that choice. The problem is these guys are talking in tongues, and they're playing chords, and they're talking subliminal languages, and they're not speaking clearly enough about what needs to get done for people to understand it. So it's some things to think about, and I'm glad I sort of tied all this together to the creative thing, because really, for me, my passion is figuring out how to help people be creative and getting government out of the way so people can create businesses and do things and create things that make their dreams come true. That's how we're going to be happy. We're not going to be happy with antidepressants. We're not going to be happy because somebody gave us some extra money. We're not going to be happy because government has stepped across the border to help us. We're only going to be happy if we can make ourselves happy. And the only way to do that is you got to make your own dreams come true. So thanks once again, Ed Johnson, for inspiring me and also for opening ex-government trucks. He's got snowplows. He's got expeditions, Yukons, all kinds of stuff. Check out the new ex-government trucks in Forest Lake, and also prideofhomes.com, Eric and Aram Lucero. It's a husband and wife licensed real estate agent team and real estate investors with expertise to share with you. If you're looking for a home in the North and Northwest Metro, they can help you out for real estate expertise. Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate. Click on the banners at the top of the Bob Davis podcast for more information. 763-433-9100. 763-433-9100. Want to thank the digital sponsors of the Bob Davis podcast, the folks I told you about early in the podcast, Buzzlets, and also Alpha Systems. Here's the deal. I know I got a lot of pilots listening to the Bob Davis podcast. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. It is now FAA approved. Bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks, you guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcast. Again, thanks to everybody who is doing the beta test for the Chieftain 2021 audio book. The first chapter is up at thebobdavispodcast.com. You just click on the audiobook tab. If you've been subscribing to the Bob Davis podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn, thank you. But, you know, if you haven't been visiting the website, I sounded like an Indian guy, visiting the website, you should visit, because there are, you know, a bunch of different tabs and new things like the audiobook, and I'd really appreciate it if you check that out. Thank you for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, my favorite. Because there's no snark on Instagram. I'm bdavis7843 at Instagram. And thank you for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. It's keeping the mobile podcast command center in diesel fuel and oil changes. And it's keeping me in Komodo Dragon Coffee, which I can't complain about. Thanks for listening to podcast 412. Be creative.
Have you ever had a